President Ghazi Al-Yawar, Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, Foreign Minister Hoshyar Zebari, Oil Minister Thamir Abbas Ghadban. Those are just some of the names in Iraq's new interim government. The final appointments were announced today following wide-ranging consultations by the UN Special Envoy Lakhdar Brahimi, recommendations from the U.S. administration, and, of course, members of the Iraqi Governing Council weighed in as well. Joining us now to provide some background on these new government officials and to look ahead to their role in Iraq is Noah Feldman, a law professor at New York University who worked as a constitutional advisor with the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq, and he joins us now on the phone from here in Washington, D.C. Good to have you on the program again.
Pleasure to be with you.
What can you tell us about the new president, Ghazi Al-Yawar, who was announced today?
Well, the president is a tribal sheikh. That's one of his claims to fame. He's the hereditary sheikh of a part of a tribe known as the Shammar. And you will see when you see him on television that when he appears in public, he normally wears the traditional robes of a tribal sheikh. He's also trained as an engineer and speaks good English, and is someone who has close ties to other members of the Governing Council, which is the body that more or less handpicked him shortly before it itself was poised to go out of existence.
Yes, we'd heard that, in fact, I guess pro forma, the job was offered to another member said to be the U.S. Nominee, Mr. Pachachi, and he turned it down because he would have been seen, he said, as too much of a U.S. Nominee.
That's a very disturbing development, in my view, because Dr. Pachachi, though an older gentleman, he's well into his 80s, has been deeply committed to the constitutional process in Iraq, deeply committed to the rule of law. And I would have guessed that he would have been a pick desirable not only to the U.S. or to the United Nations, but also to members of the Governing Council, to the extent that they, too, are committed to the Constitution that they themselves participated in drafting. So I'm a little concerned about his star falling, as it were, at the last minute, especially because it's so far unclear how the draft constitution is going to actually come into play in Iraq.
Well, under that draft constitution, the president does not seem to have a lot of power.
That's right. The president is largely a symbolic role under that draft constitution. But again, notice that we haven't yet figured out how that constitution is going to apply. It hasn't been mentioned by the administration in their draft resolution to the United Nations. It hasn't been ratified by the Iraqi people, of course. It's really a piece of paper signed by the Governing Council members and by Ambassador Bremer, and it's not clear how it will bind people in Iraq after sovereignty has been transferred.
We're speaking with Noah Feldman about the new interim Iraqi government. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now, some of these other powerful positions in the government, there were supposed to be two vice presidents. We thought the president would be from one of the major religious groups in Iraq and the two vice presidents from the others.
And that's turned out to be the case. One of the vice presidents, Dr. Roj Shawez, is a Kurd, an ethnic Kurd, who has been in the past Speaker of the House of the Kurdish Parliament. And the other is, in some ways, a more significant figure, and that is Dr. Ibrahim Jafari, whose name may not be familiar to all of your listeners, but whose name is very familiar to Iraqis. In polls in Iraq, he regularly shows the greatest degree of support of any professional politician. He's the leader of something called the Da'wa Party, which is an Islamist party, and he's someone who's got a lot of respect from ordinary Shia in Iraq, and who's in many ways an impressive figure, very modern in his presentation, but very committed to the values of Islam as well.
The most powerful person in the interim government, which may be a relative thing, but the most powerful person is the Prime Minister Abu Iyad, previously defense minister?
No, Iyad Alawi, who is the new prime minister, had a cousin who was previously the defense minister. So they have the same last name.
My mistake, then.
Might be confusing. But in fact, he was a member of the Governing Council. He is someone whom he's a Shia ethnically, but a secular and modern person. As a young man, he was actually involved in Ba'ath Party politics before breaking with the regime and becoming a staunch opposition figure from exile. He's someone who has had close ties to U.S. intelligence over the years, regularly reported to have been a favorite of the CIA, and whom the United States relied upon in trying to make ties to the Iraqi army in the days when we were trying to overthrow Saddam by fomenting a coup from within.
There are 30 ministries, I believe. How does the power break down there?
There what you have is a sort of political process in which each of the major groups and political parties that seem to have support in Iraq are getting something for themselves. There's a shakeup of the ministries as they previously existed under the governing council, but there are also people who are retaining their jobs, prominently among them the foreign minister, Hoshyar Zebari, who is a very impressive person and a Kurd as well, and who will keep that very important foreign minister's position, and who is even now on his way to the U.S. to lobby at the United Nations for greater independence for the new government. Really what you're seeing is a political process in which, just to sort of sum it up, the governing council has managed to retain a fair amount of its power, notwithstanding the fact that it's going out of existence. And that's sort of impressive because at every stage there have been attempts to push them out of power. Ambassador Brahimi arrived in Iraq saying that his goal was to not rely too heavily on the governing council, and the U.S. backed that publicly.
And he was going to appoint technocrats, not politicians.
Exactly. That was his grand plan, and that is not what happened at all. I think what he discovered is that those politicians in Iraq who have been involved in government, like politicians anywhere, had no particular interest in stepping aside and giving way to a new group of people. And although those politicians may not all enjoy very much support among the Iraqis, it was pretty hard for the United States to say no to them, since, after all, we're the ones who put them in power in the first place.
We just have a minute or so left, but I wanted to ask you, in terms of the president today was talking about full sovereignty, but clearly definitions of what full sovereignty means, one could have differing opinions. Security is not going to be in the hands of Iraqis, is it?
It will not, because there isn't an Iraqi security force capable of taking care of the country. The U.S. military will remain the only force in Iraq capable of monopolizing power. Not that we have, by the way, managed to monopolize power, but in theory we're the largest, we're the big dog, as it were. On the other hand, this new Iraqi government will be able to say publicly to the United States, do this or do that, and we will be under a lot of pressure to listen. And I would just say that it's crucially important for the U.S. that we stand by this government and support it. It should not appear, and it should not be the case, that this is some sort of a puppet of ours. We should try to avoid that. We should try to do the things that they want and serve their interests as best we can as we move in the direction of elections. Because, let's face it, the Iraqis didn't ask for us to overthrow Saddam. We just did it. And now we owe a very great ethical responsibility to the Iraqis to get them out of this on the other side.
Noah Feldman, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Noah Feldman, professor of law at NYU. He worked as a constitutional advisor with the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.